WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc. Videos from this interview are available at youtube.com/WNRN Radio.
Well, in the WNRN studios this morning, Andy Freeman and Paul Carrary. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Andy, when we first met, it was right here, as you were kind of following Paul into the studio for an in-studio, and I guess you were there as kind of like the label rep of sorts. So you kind of are a man of many hats. Where did you and Paul initially meet? Because this is a long-standing friendship. We'll talk about how he is influential on this new record in just a minute. But how'd you meet Paul?
Oh, we met in college, actually. At the Rhode Island School of Design in Providence, back in the late 60s. We met at school. I was a painting major, and Paul was studying film at the time.
At RISD?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know if that was, you were making a joke of RISD in the 60s or just RISD in general.
No, that's where we met. We met at a freak show in the street, which is true. That's really true. There's a man doing something with big cinder blocks.
And nipples.
And we both were the only two watching, I think, and that we've been friends ever since. Not with the freak, but the two of us.
I guess that's good. Yeah. So you met in college, and then you decided to form the label to put Paul Carrary's music out? I don't remember exactly.
No, actually, I started, I never played guitar, I never sang, but I listened to music my whole life. I was always the guy who would always want to hang out and talk music, and they'd say, "Oh, you play us a song. You play?" No, I don't play. I listen. That guy. And I still feel that way in a certain sense of music, songs. I mean, it's how I figured out how to live. Those are my Bibles. Each one of the little records that I have at home, or all thousands of them. I wasn't a singer, but I was a painter. And I decided, wow. I can't make a record, but I want to put out a book. So I put out a book of paintings and drawings and a poem, and I made the label so I could put out these little books of art for people. And the first thing I ever put out was Drawings and Other Failures. It was my first book. It was about 10, 11 years ago now.
I think you pressed that into my hand when you came in with Paul.
Possibly, yeah, yeah. I see it on the wall there in a gilded frame. So thank you. That's nice. It looks beautiful. And Paul at that time was working on his first album, From Long Gone to Hawk Moth, and we thought, well, you're signed. And we took it from there. But that's how the label started, as an art house, really. We thought, well, okay, books and records and whatever else comes along. Freak show.
Freak show. Okay, you're known as an illustrator for The New Yorker, and where else have you had?
A bunch of other magazines I have the good fortune to work with on a regular basis. I mean, I do a lot of magazines, Esquire, and I can't even name them.
When did you go from painting to being an illustrator / I guess, are you a cartoonist or just an illustrator?
Wow, it's so funny. Always a painter, and then I got a job. I was working in the Union Square Farmers Market in New York City, and I was working in a freight elevator, and then I got a job in a mailroom, and the mailroom happened to be, it was more of an office lackey type of position. I was 22 or 23, I was at The New Yorker. And in my head, it was just an indoor job. And I just met a lot of wonderful people there. And I think in college, my professor, Richard Merkin, a great illustrator and artist, who's the fellow with the purple hat on the top row of the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club cover. I think he's one of the last living members of that collage. Anyhow, he sent some of my drawings to the art director at the time, The New Yorker, who remembered that and said, "Hey, why don't you draw, you like country music, why don't you draw Hank Williams III for us?" I thought, well, great, cool, why not? And you get paid for it, sweet. And it got published, and then you're in The New Yorker. I guess that's just, things just happened, and I started taking assignments from other magazines and newspapers. And that was always just sort of a satellite of what I do. I mean, you know, it's not very expressive work. I always say, you know, if my wife were to leave me, I don't think I would draw a portrait of Lily Tomlin, you know, or write a song. So it's all separate in my head, but they're all things that I like to do.
Andy Freeman's my guest this morning, and he'll be playing tonight at the Clementine Cafe. The new album is called Weary Things, and let's hear you and Paul do a song, and then we'll get to going from illustrator to songwriter in a minute. But let's hear some music from you both.
Sure. Trippin' daddy, trippin' wherever I please. I'm a road trippin' daddy, wherever I please. If you see me packin', there's a good time, I have my key. I love old bridges, there's a toll for one now. I quit my job so I can honk at a cow. I'm a road trippin' daddy, wherever I please. I'm a road trippin' daddy, better let me be. I drive down a Cola, I drive down a Waverly. Daddy drives down a Cola, he drives down a Waverly. If a crow wakes him up, it means his clock's out of battery. Idling breaks chirping pretty like crickets, I swear. Cassette player pops like a roaring fire. I'm a road tripping daddy, wherever I please. I'm a road tripping daddy, you better let me be. It's not for the thanks I get. Daddy don't know why I do it. It's not for the thanks he gets. If you haven't thanked me so far, there's time to thank me, yeah. I took a trip last week and the week before. I woke up this morning, gonna travel some more. I'm a road tripping daddy, I plead. I'm a road tripping daddy, maybe. A road tripping daddy, you better let me be.
WNRN, Andy Freeman, Paul Carreri in the WNRN studios this morning. Andy is going to be at Clementine Cafe tonight, and we're going to have some tickets to that. You know, painter, illustrator, working at the mailroom in the New Yorker, publishing a few things here and there. When did you transition into songwriter as well?
You know, it's two separate things. I mean, I still am an illustrator. I'm very proud of it, and it's something I love to do. And it, I fulfill a lot of deadline assignments for magazines while I'm touring with the band in hotel rooms. I travel with a studio in my trunk of my vehicle, you know, underneath the what's a big SUV, and you lift it up, and I can pull out a scanner and a drafting table and light and my computer and all that stuff set up in the hotel room by day and send in a deadline and then hit the stage. So that all is something that's just like in the running on a sidecar along with the art thing. So the real question I think would be how did you transition from a painter putting out books of poems to a songwriter, and how the answer to that question would be I put out this book of paintings and drawings, and then thought, well, I need to have a live show, you know. So I made slides of the pictures, and then I would recite the poems and the stories alongside with the pictures. And for 3 years, I traveled the same noisy bars and pubs that I'm and rock clubs that I'm playing now, but just with this thing. It's just a slideshow, and I maintained that the pictures were the music and the lyrics were the poems, and people would actually get quiet and listen as if it was a musician playing, and that was a lot of fun. Got into Hank Williams, Luke the Drifter, those records where he spoke, and then there's some, you know, his band was playing music underneath, and I thought, well, maybe I can bring a band into this. So after 3 years of doing it quietly, I thought, well, we'll have some music playing. So I made a band, and then slowly started playing guitar. I've only been playing guitar for 3 years, strumming the three chords that I knew at the time, and then I started singing the poems, and then I dropped the pictures. I thought, well, these pictures are getting in the way. These poems are turning into songs, and then it just, the tadpole tail fell off, I guess, and now I'm just a real frog. Yeah, I just became a songwriter. I just got really into it. So to me, it's the same as a paintings. I still feel like I'm making paintings. You know, some painters put down the paintbrush and they make sculptures out of laser beams and light bulbs. And to me, it's just I make them out of the vibrations of these metal strings against this wood, you know, sound hole. And I sing my words, you know, which some people call songs. But
so who came up with the phrase art country?
That was a paper in Minneapolis. Maybe it was someone actually in Savannah, Georgia. I don't remember now, but right. That was in Savannah, Georgia, somebody. I think Jim Reed, I think, said like I was the Johnny Cash of painting or something like that when I did the slideshow, which I don't know if now he thinks I'm the Johnny Cash of music, but I don't think so. So I kind of like that. I don't know what it means, but I like it. I don't know what it means.
Well,
it makes sense to me.
I was trying to put it in context of this new CD.
People use it to describe the music. Yeah, they call this kind of music art country, and I like that. Right, exactly. So I've definitely we've sort of adapted that as a descriptor of the kind of music we play. But I don't necessarily have a definition for what, you know, the philosophical pursuit of what art country is trying to accomplish. I like the ring of it. Yeah.
I think it actually, to me, in context of your, I guess, evolution, kind of the slideshow and the poems, kind of makes sense that someone would call it art mm-hmm. country. And you know, you've got comparisons with this new album to people like Leonard Cohen, who also do that kind of speaking through their songs,
mm-hmm.
very elaborate songs. Well, I cornered Paul Carreri on New Year's Eve and just went on and on and on about how much I really enjoyed this new one. It's extremely entertaining, and maybe not in a way that most people would like slip on a pop album and be entertained by that. But you're being a poet obviously shows you've got a real command of the English language and find fun and funny situations to describe in interesting ways. So you know, do you write a lot? You're looking for interesting situations?
No, I'm definitely not looking for them. I feel like, first of all, I should say thanks for the compliment. And you know, also, people are free to connect with these songs however they want. If it is something that is a pop background to that, anyway, anything that brings people pleasure, that's why you share it. And the way I write is really on a need to write basis. If everything's fine and dandy, I don't really find myself needing to sort through anything. There's little, I think maybe 5 minutes a month where I just feel like perfect, everything's cool. But then as soon as something goes wrong or some dark feeling slips in, the only way I know how to really alleviate that or smooth out that pothole is by creating art, which during these years now has just been reaching for a pen and a paper and the guitar and just write. I drive a lot, so I have a little notebook in the center console, much to the chagrin of the band, and I write while I drive. And at the end of a month, I might look at all these little lines, and I think of Furry Lewis, the great country blues man, who asked him, how does he write songs? He said, well, I just write stuff down, and then I rhyme it up. I write these songs to make myself feel better, to make sense of the world, and then I share them just because it might be of value or entertainment to somebody. So I like to send them out into the world.
All right. Well, let's send out another one right here with you and Paul playing right. another tune.
I'd love to.
Andy Freeman and Paul Carreri are my guests this morning in the W. Enneren Studios. Andy and his band, The Other Failures, will be tonight at the Clementine Cafe in Harrisburg.
That's right. Looking forward to that. We had a great time there last time. I wanna get back to Idaho. I wanna get back to Colorado. I wanna get back to New Mexico. I wanna get back. I wanna go. I wanna go where the desert cools my mind, to the land of the Sinclair gas station sign. I wanna go where the road never winds. I wanna get back there if I ever get the time. I spent 3 nights in a cabin in Lake Marie Roman. Left a torn blue sweatshirt and diner somewhere near Spokane. Let's find our way back to Bolinas, honey, if we even can. I drove from Denver straight through to Kansas, and when I got there, my left arm was tan. I wanna get back to Idaho. I wanna get back to Colorado. I wanna get back to New Mexico. I wanna get back. I wanna go. I wanna go where the desert cools my mind, to the land of the Sinclair gas station sound. I wanna go where the road never winds. I wanna get back there if I ever get the time. Spent 3 nights in a cabin, Lake Marie Ronan, Montana. Left a torn blue sweatshirt in a diner somewhere near Spokane, big state to the left. Let's find our way back to Bolinas, honey, if we even can. They got no road signs in Bolinas. I drove from Denver straight through to Kansas, and when I got there, my left arm was tan from leaning out the window in the sun. I wanna get back to Idaho. I wanna get back to New Mexico. I wanna get back to Colorado. I wanna get back. I wanna go. I wanna get back. I wanna go. I wanna get back. Get back. I wanna go.
WNRN. Andy Freeman, Paul Carreri were my guests this morning in the WNRN studios. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more music and conversation in just a minute. When I cornered Paul and was gushing about the new record, I hadn't even flipped the thing over and even realized that he had been the producer of the record, but he...
Yeah, it should have been in a bigger font.
Well, I don't know if... maybe in my, you know, mid-40s eyeballs, I don't know. I would have had to put my reading glasses on, but still, you know, I was kind of glad to, I guess, to have gushed at him, of all people, about it. But why don't you guys talk about making of this record, since you guys were obviously both involved in making it happen.
Yeah, sure. You know, we did the last record to get my first album was called Taken Man. We did that together, and that was right after I sort of learned how to. I actually committed to becoming a songwriter in the studio and the making of that first album. I think the second one came in as someone who's been playing music for a couple of years helped a bit. We sort of had some mm-hmm. more musical ideas, but we making. I mean, sure, all of the listeners have heard of the Nasty Neighbors. This is a very, very popular band from Providence, Rhode Island, that existed in our dorm room when we were roommates. Carlo Rossi was a member of the band. And we have many, many hours of messing around together, creating music, and in a certain way. I mean, Paul, maybe
it was ridiculous, and Okay. He'd have to get me so drunk to do it. And then, to make matters worse, he was kind of shy, so he would make me sit in the hallway while he did his vocals.
Oh, this is not for this record.
No. This is the Nasty Neighbors stuff, in college. Yeah. He put on these Ray-Ban sunglasses and make me sit in the hall.
Yeah, I was shy. In my head, this is, you know, making records with Paul is, you know, it's that same thing, except he doesn't have to wait in the hallway, you know. We're just having a good time. I mean, bringing songs to the table, and Paul's telling me what he thinks of them, and I talk about some loose musical idea, and he plays them and then brings other ideas. It's building a tool shed together, but putting music on and having a bottle of something sitting in the ground, and you just spend your days together building something. It's really, it has very little to do with making an album. It's more like just constructing this piece of art that you can hang out in.
Well, I remember,
I personally just do it for the money.
Right.
Well, I remember what you said to me, Paul, was that, well, you know, they came down and they put their song down, and then they just let me do what I want.
Yep, and he was very trustworthy and in that regard, but I have to like send him all this stuff constantly for him to approve, and sometimes for his wife to approve. And that's it. But like that's the only way I've known how to make records. It does sometimes become a relatively solitary affair where I do need to get other people out of the house. So that sometimes does happen.
Now I get kicked out. That is true. You know, we put down, we get just so far, and then that's true. Paul then says, you know, get out of here, and then we listen to it again with all things that just Paul ideas that Paul had independently, and then take it from there. So yeah, I guess now I wait in the hallway. Some point.
Andy, who are these musicians in your band, The Other Failures?
The Other Failures, this incarnation of the band has been wonderful. It's been almost 2.5 years just running with these fine folks. Greg Donahue plays bass, Matt Rock Teacher Walsh plays the lead electric guitar, and our drummer is Adrienne Palakat. She just moved to America from Malaysia about 7 or 8 months ago, and she's been with us ever since. The drummer that you'll notice, there's about 18 different drum credits on the record because our drummer had moved to LA, Ian Fry. So he's on a couple of tracks, and then Adrian's on one. And I think Paul even plays drums on one, and Carla Rossi plays on the other. But the band right now, or the band that'll be at Clementine's, and the band I've been running with for a while are those are the four of us. And
they're great.
They're wonderful people, and a lot of fun to be performing with.
One more live song for us this morning, if you would.
Sure. This is called Weary Apology. I just want to shower and go right home. I just want to shower and go right home. When I was a kid, I'd knock the cover off the ball 3 times in a game, clear over the wall. Every blade of grass was my natural friend. Every blade of grass, it was my natural friend. There was a willow tree and left, and every time the wind blew, the leaves rustled up the tune of the natural score. I caught 1,000 sundowns in my headphones at Elm Lake. I haven't been to the lake since music's mystery been replaced. I just wanna shower and go right home. I just wanna shower and go right home. When I was a kid, I would drive through some sights. The moon lit up all the farms in Nebraska at night. Every blade of grass was my natural friend, and every quarter mile was my natural friend. There was a willow in the mirror, caught the wind when it blew. The leaves rustled up the tune of the natural score. I caught 1,000 sundowns in my headphones at Elm Lake. And I haven't been to the lake since music's mystery been replaced. I don't have to make a weary apology. I don't have to make a weary apology. I spent a week in a beach house in Aquinas last June. Took a staircase to a roof deck and a ladder to the moon. I took a staircase to a roof deck and a ladder to the moon. I took a staircase to a roof deck and a ladder to the moon.
WNRN. Andy Freeman, Paul Carreri are my guests this morning in the WNRN studios. And I want to talk about just one more thing this morning before I wish you many happy returns back to my studio. One thing that really captivated me was this whole song, and I was reading some of the reviews of your shows, and this also seemed to capture a lot of other people's imagination as well, is your song called Freddy's Back Room. You're kind of talking about the lamenting of kind of the small mom and pop bar going by the wayside for maybe, the conglomerate or the box restaurant, so to speak. It's just delightful. The whole setup of the whole thing, and then the whole reference to Bennigan's at the end just kind of blew my mind. So, was there a particular poignant moment that just kind of brought about this whole look at, the local bar and all the people you'll encounter there?
Travels with Charlie, John Steinbeck's novel he wrote right when he found out he was gonna die. He drove around with his poodle and stayed off the interstate highways. I think he wrote Route 1 all over. He's like, these interstate highways are going to change the face of America. I'm telling you, mark my words, as soon as these interstate highways come in, you're going to lose all the mom and pops and all this, everything you were just talking about. And, this song is not a protest song. It's not a song about how we're all doomed because of globalization or big companies kicking out mom and pops. I've shopped at Target and I drive on the interstate highways, so I'm guilty too. It's the way things go. It's my favorite bar, and it's sad to see it go for whatever reason. And there's a lot of mom and pops going, and yeah, it's sad, and it's a little lamentation about that. It's an observational song for better or worse. The chorus goes, they're going to tear down Freddy's, they're going to tear down Hank's Saloon, and like crickets under rocks, we're all going to hop to Bennigan's back room. But, the thing is, the funny thing is, at the time the record comes out, Bennigan's is gone and Freddy's is still standing. So there's some truth to that also. So it's just like losing a friend, that's all.
Yeah, well, I did catch the irony about the fact that Bennigan was gone.
Yeah, score.
Absolutely. Well, Andy, thank you so much for coming in, and also thank you for a real delightful album. I hope a lot of people pick this up because it's just cool. It's just really fun to listen to. I've just really enjoyed it. So
thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
And many happy returns back to Charlottesville here, and of course, to see your friend Paul as well. I'm sure you'll see him.
Absolutely.
You played Idaho, which we talked about, but this Locked Out of the Building song. Any thoughts about this one before we play it?
Well, that one works. That's a good way to hear the band, too, and our live show. I like to say bring your dancing shoes and wallflower hats. The show is for wallflowers and people who like dance. This is a good indication of what's many moments tonight's Clementine show is all about when the band's playing live. So.
All right. Well, thanks, Andy, and thanks, Paul. Good
sure
to see
am.
You.
Nice to see you.